Well, good morning again to each of you. I have a little bit of a challenge this morning because I'm trying to do what you're used to doing, and so I hope that everything goes well. It's starting off well. At least the title is okay. But I haven't normally done this with preaching. Usually I just get up and preach. I don't usually do this. Now, when I teach, a lot of times I'll put things, project them, and and make it a little better for the discussion and all. But at least with the preaching, I haven't done too much of that. And so we are, glad that we're here today. We're glad that we are in chapter number 5. And in this chapter, we are talking about the blessings of our justification, the blessings of our salvation, you see. The blessings that we have because we have faith in Christ. Once we trust in Him, we have something that is much more valuable than anything else that we could have in this world. And it gets us ready for eternity, not just for the present. And I hope that if you're here today and you've never trusted in Christ, that you'll see the benefits that you have by being a Christian, by being saved, by being in Christ. It's really a very valuable thing. And so as we look at this today, I'd like for you to turn to chapter 5. And I hope that you've been reading in the book of Romans during the week. And up to chapter 5 at least for this week. And of course next week it'll be chapter 6 and so forth. Now we may take a little break on Romans when it comes to the faith promise. We may do a different type of message that Sunday morning. But other than that, we'll try to continue working our way through this book. And we're going to find out that when we get back to chapter 12 and 13 and 14 and so forth, that we see some of the practical things in Romans because of salvation. Now, these are things that we need to practice in our daily lives. And that starts in chapter 12 and forward. So this is a great book. And Paul wrote his epistles to the different believers over his time as in his mission work. And in the first part of his books, he usually did things that talked about the doctrine, the teachings that needed to be stabilized in the lives of people. And then later in each of those epistles, then he got to the practical side of it. How do we put it into practice? And so we'll be doing that as we continue and get a little farther along in Romans. Now, read with me, and let's read the first 11 verses together. And if you would you stand? Stand with me, and let's read this together, all of us together, reading Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. And then we'll get into the rest of the message. So all together from verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience, experience, and experience, hope. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For when we were sinners, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God, Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Okay. Amen. And God bless the reading of His Word. It's always good to read the Word of God.
Amen.
You don't really understand it until you read it. And then when you read it and start memorizing it, then you start understanding the true emphasis of it. And so here we have in these verses that we have just read, the benefits of our salvation, of our justification, once we've trusted Christ as our personal Savior. And we want to look at those a little bit this morning. First of all, these seven blessings of justification, or benefits of justification, and the first one is there in verse number 1. And here we see, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, excuse me. You may be seated. Yes. Okay. Thank you very much, brother. Okay. You know, we've got it too good, really. I'm serious. If you go back in the Old Testament, they had the reading of the Word, and the people stood all the time that they were reading the Word. Okay? And expounding on the Word. And yet we, in our day, you know, we're in the day of ease. And they stood out in the sun. They stood out in the open. In many places they have open air services, you know. They may be meeting, like Brother E was saying yesterday, they met under a mango tree, I think it was. Yeah, you see, but no. Well, where are we? We're in soft seats. If you push back, it even goes back. I mean, you know, we've got it good. So it's a challenge to us today. And yet, we have a salvation that is a great blessing to us. And we need to keep that in mind. It's so important for us to do that. And here, the peace with God. You see, we're at enmity with God as sinners. But when we trust in Christ as our personal Savior, now we have peace with God. And actually, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, we're made nigh by the blood of Christ, it says. In other words, what Christ did on Calvary, He did so that we could be blessed of the Lord and have peace with Him, be in fellowship with God instead of at enmity with God, at odds with God, you see. And what a great blessing that alone is. And then maybe a little later we'll not be just talking about peace with God, but we'll have the peace of God. When we really fall in love with the Lord and follow Him wholly with our heart, then we have the peace of God in our lives. You know, I've gotten to the place where I don't worry much about anything. I really don't. You know, my wife now, you know, she might lay awake at night and look at the ceiling in the dark and, well, I wonder if it's going to rain. Well, I don't, you know, when I lay down, I go to sleep. I don't worry about anything. And I think that's great. I think that's a great blessing that we have. And then, of course, we notice the second one here in verse number 2. It says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. I'd like for you to look at a passage in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And let's notice how Paul stated it to the believers at Ephesus. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 18, he says here, for through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. The ministry of the Spirit of God in our lives gives us audience with God. It's kind of like if you wanted an audience, you wanted to be in the presence of the Prime Minister of Singapore, you would have to go through some things to get that, you know, make that possible. In fact, you may try to do it and it never becomes possible. But through faith in Christ, you can have an audience with God. And you can have an audience with God at any time, at any place, in any posture, today, immediately. We have access to God through the Spirit. And then notice another thing we have here in verse number 2. Hope of the glory of God. Hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God is what it says here in the verse. And in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, Peter is talking about a lively hope. This is a living hope. This isn't a dead hope. This isn't a hope-so hope. This is a living hope. This is an exact hope. This is something we can bank on. Okay? The bank says they'll secure your money. But if the bank goes south, your money may go south with it. But God's not going to go south. God is going to hold true to His promises, and we can bank on it. We can believe it. And we have a living hope. A living hope. It's not a hope-so hope. It's a living hope. And then we notice another one of the benefits of justification. Triumph or glory in tribulation. Notice the verse says there in verse 3 and 4, and not only so, but we glory or triumph in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, talks about Christ's sufferings. And because of His sufferings, we can be exceeding glad and exceedingly joyful. Why? Because He paid for our salvation. We didn't have to pay for it. You see, if we have to pay for it, we pay for it with our death and our separation from God. If He pays for it, then we are in the fellowship of God. We have Christ, and we have fellowship with the Lord. And then we notice also another benefit, God's love by the Spirit. God's love by the Spirit. In verse 5 it says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so here, how does this all work? Well, when we get to chapter 8, we're really going to find out the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And the trouble is, a lot of Christians are not working with the Spirit. They're not walking in the Spirit. Therefore, they have troublesome times in their Christian life. And many times they're defeated in their Christian life, and it's simply because they're not working with what God has given us to work with. And that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And God's love. And we really see God's love as we walk in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit leads us in our life and helps us in what we need to do. And we really see it then. And then another one of the benefits is here, the deliverance from the great tribulation. Now, our Sunday school lesson this morning was about Job and all of the suffering that he went through. And that was tribulation to him. Okay? And it was such agonizing tribulation that he even wished that he had never been born. You see? Yet in verse 9 it says, much more than... In other words, here's all these benefits and blessings we've already talked about, but much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath. In other words, the great tribulation through Him. And for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. In other words, here's an added blessing. We don't have to go through the time of persecution that the 7 years of tribulation will be. And God saved us when we were yet enemies, when we really weren't in fellowship with God. God went ahead and reached out and made it possible for us to have salvation. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9 and 10, the Bible says in those verses, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, whom delivered us from the wrath to come. So we are delivered through Christ from the wrath of the tribulation. And then, of course, the seventh of the seven blessings is reconciliation with God. Reconciliation with God. We're reconciled to Him. The verse says, and not only so, but we also joy or rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Now, in the Old Testament, they talked about the atonement, and once a year, offering was made for the sins of the people of God. And the priest would go in and offer sacrifice, you see. And so this is the idea here. The Webster Dictionary of 1828 defines atonement as reconciliation. And Christ reconciles us back to God. The reason we as humans need to be reconciled is because we are by birth and by a family tree, we are connected to Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve sinned, and when they sinned, it sent the whole human race into a sinful condition. You see, and that means that all of us were born with a sinful nature. We're sinners because we sin, but more so, we're sinners because we have a sinful nature. You see, that's really what's... We would never sin if we didn't have the sinful nature. You see, so we really are helped through the blood of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 to 14, notice what the Bible says. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, that one man was Adam, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. And that's referring to Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22, the Bible says, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And the reason we need to trust in Christ as our Savior is because in Adam we're all on a death, on a race course toward death and separation from God. And God doesn't want that. He wants it where all men can be saved. And so He sent His Son into the world to be our sacrifice and shed His blood so that we could be saved. So you see, the much more phrase that you see in these verses here is the key to the whole passage. We have much more than we really deserve. And whatever we have derived from Adam, we derived a lot more, much more from Jesus Christ. What Adam gave us was death and separation and departure from God and enmity with God. But what Christ has gotten is much more than that. And that's what we're going to see as we look at the last verses in the chapter here. You'll notice there's a comparison made in these last verses, verses 15 to 21, and it's comparing Adam with Christ. And let's just notice how this comparison goes. In verse number 15, in Adam's offense, and let's read that. You'll notice here in verse number 15, it says, "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead." The offense of one, Adam, many are going to be dead. You see, in Adam's offense or sin, many died in sin. But it goes on and says, "Much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, who abounded unto many." So in Christ's gift of grace, many live in Christ. Now the sad thing is, you've got a lot of people that are in relation to the first Adam, Adam in the garden, who sinned and gave us a sinful nature, and there's a lot of people that are still under him. And so many died in sin. Many die in sin. Many more may die in sin unless the gospel goes out and they understand and trust Christ as their personal Savior. But notice also in verse number 16, you see here that in Adam's judgment, because of sin, many are condemned. God condemned Adam because he sinned. God said, "Listen, I'll let you eat of all the fruit in the garden, but this one tree. Don't eat of the fruit of the one tree." That, just that one tree. That's the only thing, the only exception. And yet, Eve was deceived by Satan, and she partook and took of the fruit and gave to Adam. He partook, and the whole human race fell into sin. And so it may be one of these days, if you ever see Adam, you might want to say, "You know, you did something that really made it hard on me. But praise the Lord, Jesus Christ came along and he made it easy." You see, trusting in Christ isn't that hard. It's just a matter of giving up your sin and believing that what he did on Calvary was for you. That you'll be saved by trusting in him. And that's God's plan. And that's what God wants us to do. So here we have Adam's judgment. Because of sin, many are condemned. But in Christ's free gift of grace, many are justified. You see, and praise the Lord for all that are saved. And then in verse number 17, we see here that... in verse number 17, in Adam's trespass, death reigned for many. But in Christ's abundance of grace, the gift of righteousness reigned in life. And so here he's comparing. There's a big difference between death and life. Big difference. It's like the difference between light and darkness. Most people don't like darkness. In fact, we ministered up in Alaska. Praise the Lord, it was the time that they were having more light each day than when they were having less light each day. Because they say up there, when it gets darker and more darkness going up into the wintertime, a lot of people get really depressed. I mean, wouldn't it be kind of hard to go to work, and you go to work and it's dark, and you come home and it's still dark? Huh? Yeah, that's tough. I mean, you know. I like to see the sun once in a while. I like to see, some blue sky once in a while. That's one thing about Singapore. You can have clouds here. You hear jets going over and you look up and you can't see a jet anywhere. Yet you hear it. You know it's up there. Yeah. But I'm used to the West Indies where the puffy clouds will float along, but in between you have all the blue. Okay? A lot of clear sky, sunshine, and breeze, and, you know. Well, praise the Lord, yesterday we had some breeze, and it wasn't so bad out knocking on doors. But, but I'll tell you something. There's a big difference between light and dark. And there's a big difference living in sin and knowing you're a sinner and knowing that if you die, you're going to go to hell if you don't do something about it. And knowing that Jesus has done something so that you can resolve the problem. And it's just a matter of repenting of your sins and asking Christ to be your Savior. And that's what's all involved in it. And so in Adam's trespass, death reigned for many. And in Christ's abundance of grace, the gift of righteousness reigns in life. And then we have in verse number 18 here, in Adam's one trespass. I mean, he just broke the rules of God once. Once. What happened? Condemnation for all men. Condemnation for all. All are sinners. And in Christ, one act of righteousness, justification is offered to all men too. What a positive to such a negative there in verse number 18. And then notice in verse number 19, we have here, in Adam's disobedience, notice what it says there in verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Salvation is really very simple, and it's free. It's a gift. It's given freely, but it has to be received. Okay? It has to be received. In verse number 20, notice here that the law entered, the offense or sin was exposed. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. You know, you might go to a place where they don't have many traffic signs. And when vehicles and motorcycles are introduced, then they find for safety's sake, they may have to put up a stop sign here and a traffic signal there and a curve sign there and so forth. Now, before those signs were all put up, if someone drove through an intersection, nobody said they broke the law. Why? Because there was no sign saying you need to stop and look both ways and then go. But then, once the traffic gets heavy enough that they have to put up signs to protect the people, you see, and that's the thing about it. Sin, it wasn't considered until the law came. And of course, the law came in the garden. God said, do not partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Law came there. But it was only one law. Only one tree. And there were many trees. Can you just imagine what the garden would look like? Do you think it would look as good as the botanic gardens? Huh? Maybe a little better? Yeah. I mean, the temperature was just right. There was plenty to eat. I mean, God took care of all the needs. Listen, Singaporeans are really spoiled. I don't know of any other place in the world that the government has been so gracious to their people. Honestly, you don't have to have an automobile here to get around. Public transport is virtually as quick and cheaper than having a vehicle of your own. Am I right? Yes. Okay. And yet you have people that live here and break the law. And what do they have to do? Put them in jail. Okay. So God told Adam and Eve, look, I can't have you living in the garden, because I set it up so that everything would meet all of your needs. And then you disobeyed me. You disobeyed me. You partook of the fruit of the tree I told you not to partake of. So he had to put them out of the garden. But Jesus Christ makes it possible to, you know, the grace of God abounded. God came up with a plan where he could be just and justify, even though he was holy, and he did it through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. In verse number 21, it says, if sin reigns, the result will be spiritual death. In other words, if you go away from hearing the gospel and hearing the teachings of the book of Romans and know that you're a sinner and know Jesus Christ died for you, but you think maybe I can beat this on my own, you won't. You won't. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Christ said that. And so the way to salvation, the way to deliverance, is through accepting the grace of God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. That's the way. And if grace reigns in your life, what do you have? The result will be eternal life through imputed righteousness. You see, salvation doesn't make us righteous in ourselves. We're sinners saved by grace. Righteousness is imputed to our account. God's righteousness is placed on our account to cover our sinfulness. And even though I'm saved, I'm still a sinner, but I'm saved by grace. And it's a difference between a sinner saved by grace and a sinner that has not been saved by the grace of God. Okay? They'll have to pay for their own sins with their own death and separation from the Lord. Now, many years ago, they had a S-4 submarine sink just out in the water near the coast of Massachusetts. And what happened was the submarine rammed another vehicle, another vessel in the water, another ship, and of course started taking water on and sank. And it went down quite deep, and ships raced and rushed to the area and sent divers down, and they were trying to figure out, is there a way we can save the men that are on that submarine? And of course, it was quite deep, and there was a diver that was in a helmeted suit with an airline that went down with him. And he got down, and he was on the side of the submarine listening. And he heard tapping on the side of the submarine. And after a moment, he realized that the tapping was the use of the Morse code. And the person on the inside that was tapping in Morse code was saying, is there any hope? You know, this seems to be the cry of humanity today. Is there any hope? And people are searching. And the thing is, There is hope. The hope is in Christ. There is salvation available. People can be saved. People can live victorious lives in Christ, on earth, in a sin-cursed world. It can be done. We just have to get that message out and encourage people to accept it. But there is hope. The hope for life. Real life. Not just physical life. Real life is in Christ. And I trust that you have trusted in Christ as your personal Savior today. And if not, at the close of this service, why not come and ask somebody, how can I have this life that I really need? Our dear Heavenly Father, challenge our hearts today with the gospel, with the real benefits of justification, the salvation we have in Christ. And may the folks that are here really come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior if they've not done it yet. And it may it also challenge us as believers to realize we have a message that needs to be broadcast and propagated so that others can be saved before it's too late. Bless and have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother.